is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new week of broadcast on the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us not only today, but every day this week as we continue our tradition of bringing you beautiful Christian music and inspiring preaching and teaching from the Word of God, as preached by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, all this week, we continue with our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts, continuing to look in chapter 14 today. And we'll get to that in just a moment, but I want to remind you to listen after the message for our great gift offer with Easter in mind. This is the last week I'll talk about that offer, but right now, let's hear When We All Get to Heaven, and then the message.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our Father, as we open thy word to study today. Honor the word and save souls for Jesus' sake. Amen. On the last broadcast in the series, we were studying in Acts 14 where Paul and Barnabas performed a miracle that caused quite a stir. Now, the people believed and they said the gods have come down among us. And, of course, they named Paul and Barnabas after their gods. Now, that's where we were on the last broadcast in the series. Verse 13, then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Now, you see, these dear people were pagan, they were heathen. I could go into detail, and we could study Romans chapter 1, and I could show you where the heathen originated, that is, where they descended from. Now, of course, we know that Adam, of course, was the first man, and then God drowned the whole civilization except Noah and his family. So all men are descendants from Noah and his sons and wives. We all, of course, descend from Adam originally. And then Noah, who came out of the flood with his sons and was commanded to replenish the earth. And so we're all descendants of Noah. And certainly Noah and his family knew God. But they did not glorify God. They became vain in their imagination. And God darkened their hearts and their minds became reprobate. And that's the reason we have heathen upon the face of the earth today. And these people were heathen, they were pagan, and they worshipped idols. And they were about to make sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas, but they stopped it immediately. Now, you talk about becoming famous, my friend. If Paul and Barnabas had desired to make a name for themselves, this was their opportunity. They could have become, of course, they would have set them up as gods. They would have worshipped them. And their life would have been easy, and certainly they would have had no persecution. But we'll see that in 1 hour they were worshiping Paul and Barnabas and making gods out of them, and in the next hour they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city. They thought he was dead. And many great Bible scholars and commentators believe that Paul was dead. And the saints will read, and the saints prayed, and God raised him from the dead. Now, in verse 15, let me read verse 14. When Paul and Barnabas heard, they rent their clothes, they ran among the people crying. In other words, they were about to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas, and they ran out among the people and said, "Sirs, why do you these things? My, let's stop this immediately. Go no further. We're just poor sinners saved by grace. We're just men of like passion with you," verse 15. "And we also are men of like passion with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God." They cried out, "You should turn from your idols. You should turn to the true God, the living God. He's the one we serve. And through his power and by his power, we heal this man. Not our power, no indeed, but by the power of God. You should turn from these dead idols. You should turn from these vanities and turn to the living God, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways." Now notice what Paul presents to the people here, and how he attempts by the grace of God to cause them to stop and reason and consider their dead gods who can't do anything for them. In verse 17, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness." Now, Paul said God has always had a witness in that he did good, and he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Now, Paul said, "You people who worship idols, you people who have false gods, you poor pagans, the God of heaven, the living God, gives rain." In other words, he's saying to them, your gods cannot give you rain and your gods cannot give you food, but the God that I'm telling you about and the God through whom we heal this man, his power is the power of the true and the living God. And he's the one that gives the rain and the food, and he's the one who gives us a glad heart. Now he's saying to them, "I beg you to turn from your idols and turn to the living God." Now in verse 18, "And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them." They were about to kill animals and offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas because they healed the impotent man at Lystra, and he had never walked. And when Paul said, "Stand up," with a loud voice, he stood up and he leaped and he walked, and they thought that the gods had come down. Now, I said a moment ago, they were gods one moment, and now they are stoning Paul. Verse 19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, dragged him outside the city, supposing he had been dead." Now, I'm going to show you in a moment that many of the greatest Bible scholars believe that Paul was actually killed. They actually killed him. They stoned him. You know, he consented to the stoning of Stephen. And when God called him, he said, "I'll show you what great things you'll suffer for my name." Now, in verse 20, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and he came in the city, and the next day he parted with Barnabas to Derbe." In other words, he left that area, and when he had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. You know, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, and we studied that a couple of chapters back. So he returned to Antioch, he returned to Iconium, where over here I pointed out that he left because they were going to kill him, they were going to stone him over there. And they did stone him at Lystra and dragged him outside the city for dead. Now here's what he did when he returned. Verse 22, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Now, he didn't say that we through much tribulation must be born again. He didn't say that. He didn't say that through much tribulation we must be redeemed. He didn't say that. He said through much tribulation, that is, as we travel from this earth to the kingdom, we will go through much tribulation. Now, let me show you in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read these and these verses. I'm going to read some other verses, and you get your Bible. Now, if you don't have it, get it, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with them, beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to anything, that the ministry may not be blamed. Now I'm leading up to some verses. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience and affliction, in necessities, in distresses. Now that's what a minister can look forward to. Well, you say, Mr. Green, have you experienced any of that? Let me give testimony to the grace of God. God has been exceedingly good to me. Not any better to me than any other minister who has been faithful to the word. Now listen, I don't claim to be anything except one thing. Now here's all I claim. I don't have anything to boast about. I don't have anything to brag about. God forbid. But I do declare I've been true to God's word. Now I have. I mean, as far as God's Holy Ghost has revealed to me the word of God, I've preached it. I've never pulled a punch to please any man. I've never dodged a verse of scripture to please any man. So help me God, I've never cut corners. Now that's all I have. If I have anything to boast about, the only thing that I could boast about, and that's nothing to boast of, because that's my duty. That's my duty. But if there was anything at all that I could boast about, the only thing that I could say, I've been true, I have been faithful, reading this book line upon line, verse upon verse, chapter after chapter, book after book. And beloved, I've never dodged a verse of scripture or a word to please any man. Now, God has been good to me, but let me say this. In the early days of my ministry, I knew what it was to buy a sandwich and cut it in half and share it with the young man who worked with me in the early days of my ministry. We only had one sandwich and we'd cut it half in two. That's all we had. But before the next meal rolled around, we had money to buy another sandwich. We ate hamburgers and hot dogs and tomato sandwiches and pimento cheese. That's right. But God has never allowed me to miss a meal. Never. I've never missed a meal since God saved me. Didn't have an abundance all the time, but had food. Then, of course, there have been two or three fellows have come in the pulpit to get me from time to time, but they didn't get me. I've had some very narrow escapes, as the world would say, narrow. But let me say this. When it comes to suffering, all suffered, I don't know the meaning of the word suffer. I just don't know what it means. But Paul did, and Peter did, and all these men did, and in the early days, they butchered. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Read the last part of it. They would saw them asunder. They would butcher them. They'd cut them half in two. They'd cut their heads off. They'd feed them to lions. And read it. Just read it. It's in there. Now, we don't suffer that way today, but if we live like they lived, and if we preach like they preached, I'm afraid some of us would be in jail right now. Now, notice what I'm reading here. Paul said, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watching, and fasting. Have you ever fasted, Brother Green? Yes, I have. I have. Now, I don't believe God gets one bit of glory out of putting on a fast. If I should come to the radio tomorrow and announce to you that I'm going to fast today, God wouldn't get any glory out of that. Beloved, God doesn't get any glory out of us announcing and bragging on what we're going to do. If we fast because we're burdened, so burdened that it may be about a revival meeting, it may be about an individual, it may be about a family, it could be about our nation, it could be about a lot of things. You might have a baby that's sick unto death. Your mother might be dying. And there are many things that would cause us to lose the desire for food. We would be so burdened and so we would be so concerned and praying so fervently that we wouldn't want to eat. Now, that's the kind of fasting that God gets glory out of. For you to put it in the paper or announce it from the pulpit or announce on the radio, I'm going to fast today, that doesn't mean a thing, beloved. When we pray, we're supposed to go in the room, shut the door, and get out on our knees and talk to God in secret, and God rewards us openly. And that's the same thing about all this. But Paul said, I've gone through all these things. Now watch it. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand, on the left, by honor, dishonor, by evil report, good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live. Now, I believe when Paul said that, he had in mind when they stoned him at Lystra and dragged him outside the city. I'm going to read another verse in a minute. As dying and beholding we live, as chastened and not killed. See? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. Most preachers are poor, that's right. When it comes to being rich, there are not many rich preachers. There are a few ministers, and some of the greatest, have had hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some of the greatest preachers in the past, some of the greatest evangelists, their love offerings amounted to hundreds of thousands of dollars. They were great men, but they gave it away. They gave most all of it away. But there are not many rich preachers. God takes care of his preachers. God takes care of his children. God feeds us, God clothes us, and God provides for us. Paul said, as poor and yet making many rich. Why, when you lead a soul to Jesus Christ, you've given him more than if you could give him the whole world. What shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So when you lead a person to Jesus, you've given them more than if you could give them a deed to the universe. As having nothing and yet possessing all things, you see? If you know God, you do possess all things. God will do for you what you need. God will give you what you need. Now, God won't give you what you want necessarily. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Because if the Lord's your shepherd, you'll be willing to let him lead you. And when the shepherd leads you, he won't lead you into fanaticism. And he won't lead you to ask for things that are unreasonable when the Lord's leading. And so when Paul said, as killed and yet alive, as dying and yet living, and as chastened and not killed, I believe firmly he was speaking of his experience at Lystra. Now listen to this. In 2 Corinthians 12:1, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man. Now the Greek says no. In the center column there, you'll notice that the Greek translation is no. Paul said, I know a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, without the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one was caught up to the third heaven. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, how that he was caught up into paradise. Paul said, I know a man. And whether that man was in the body or out of the body, I can't tell you that, I can't explain that, but Paul said, this man that I know was caught up into the third heaven, caught in paradise, and he heard unspeakable words which are not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Paul said, I glory in infirmities. Now when they stoned him at Lystra and dragged him outside the city, as I've said before, many great Bible scholars believe that he was actually dead and he went to paradise. That's right. He said, I know a man. And he said this man was caught up into the third heaven and he was caught up into paradise. And he heard unspeakable words, which it's not lawful. It's against the law for man to utter the words that Paul heard, or the man heard who was caught up in the paradise. And I believe, I really do, I believe that Paul was the man of whom he was speaking in 2 Corinthians 12:1 and following. Now in Philippians 4, we read verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were all so careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. He said, you folks at Philippi are the only ones that helped me. You fed me, you clothed me. No other church helped me. And then Paul reminds the Philippians that even when he was in Thessalonica, he said, ye sent once and again, that is, you sent often under my necessities. You fed me, you clothed me, you took care of me. Nobody else, just you folks in Philippi. Then he said, but my God shall supply all your need. Not because I desire gift, no, but I desire fruit that ye may abound, that it may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received the things sent that you sent to me. And then he said, my God shall supply all your need. My God shall supply all your need. Paul knew God, and he knew that the God that saved him would take care of him. Now, I pointed out, 1 hour they were about to set Paul and Silas up on a pedestal as a god and offer a sacrifice to them. Then the next hour they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city. But God took care of him. The saints got around him and prayed for him, and God raised him. Beloved, if you live right, walk right, talk right, do right, you are indispensable. The devil can't kill you till God gets through with you. The child of God who will live right, the devil can't kill him. The enemies of God can't kill a Christian who lives in the center of God's will until God is finished with that person here upon this earth. And Paul was such a person. Now, there is a sin unto death. I don't have time to go into that. Christians commit the sin unto death, which is physical death. Paul was a man who was surrendered soul, spirit, and body to God, and God took care of him. And when he finished his course, he could say, I have finished my course. I believe the Apostle Paul did everything, said everything, preached every sermon that God ever wanted him to preach, and witnessed to every person that God ever wanted him to witness to. I believe that. I believe Paul finished his ministry. And when he did, they chopped his head off. But they couldn't kill him. They couldn't stone him. They couldn't kill him until God had finished with him here upon this earth. Father, we'll never be like Paul, but help us to be faithful as Paul was faithful. Help us, our Father, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Father, bless believers, encourage believers, strengthen believers, and save that soul that's nearest hell for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and I do have a few minutes left in the program, and I would like to spend that time telling you about our gift offer I. Now, this is the last week for this offer. We've told you about it for several weeks now, but this is the last week I will be talking about gift offer I. Now, if you write down the information, you can order, and we're certainly happy to take your orders for several weeks to come, but I just cannot talk about it after this week. Now, we also call this our Easter offer because thinking of Easter is what put us in mind to pick out the books for this offer. We do have 3 great books in Gift Offer I, and it's available to you if you simply ask for Offer I or the Easter offer, and send the donation to the ministry in the amount of $20 or more. Please send more if you can. Your donations keep this program on the air. So an extra $20, $30, $40 will certainly be used for God's glory. But if you can send a donation of at least $20 and ask for Offer I, I'm going to send you first a book compiled by us at the Gospel Hour containing articles and messages by my mother. It's called Heavenly Pearls of Truth from God's Word. I'd like to read just a little bit of the foreword that I wrote. It is my great pleasure to offer this compilation of articles and messages by my mother, which were written in the early years of the ministry. These articles were originally written, published in the Gospel Hour News, a monthly newspaper published by my father from March 1947 to July 1965. And these are 12 wonderful articles by my mother that I know you will find very inspiring. Then we have a book by Dr. A.C. Dixon entitled Heaven on Earth, 119 pages long. It's a hardback book, and it contains 13 chapters. And I know that you will learn much about the Bible as you read these. Finally, Glimpses of Heaven, a compilation by us of 5 messages about heaven written by my father, 164 pages long, a perfect bound book. So to get all 3 of these books by my dad, my mom, and Dr. Dixon, just ask for Gift Offer I and send your gift of at least $20. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.